News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Copper, I ran long on that one, didn't I? How long? I mean, how much time do I even have before the next break? Like, what, 3 minutes? What have I got? Oh,
something like that.
Wow. You just let me ramble, Copper. Just going. Well, it was necessary, and it goes right into this next segment we're going to do. But hey, listen, folks, I got to tell you real quickly a couple things. I want you to know right off the bat that if you are getting outside the range of our AM/FM capability here at WVNN, it don't matter. It doesn't matter where you are in the whole wide world. Just go to the World Wide Web is what I keep telling people. Go to rightsideradio.org. That's our website, rightsideradio.org. Click on the Listen Live button, and you just go on that, and bam, no matter where you are in the whole world, you're listening to us. No matter where you is, there we is what I always say. So, yeah, rightsideradio.org will cover you down on that. You can also pick up our podcasts, which are well over 28,000 as of yesterday afternoon. So podcasts have been downloaded 28,000 times. You might want to join the many numbers of people who are listening to us in segments like the day after, or sending them to their friends because they want to hear a piece of it again or whatever. But the bottom line is podcasting is a big piece of what we do. Copper gets it all ready every day. Birdman uploads it into virtually every form of podcasting available. It's all right there on the website. Check that out. But here's the other thing. There's a new thing going on right now, and it's on that website, rightsideradio.org. So on March the 10th, which is coming up in just a few weeks, it's a Thursday night, I believe, March the 10th, starting at 6 p.m. at Burritt on the Mountain, up there on Montesano in Huntsville, the Alabama Policy Institute's having a dinner. It's basically open to folks. I am the keynote speaker. I would love to meet some of my Right Side ruffians. So what I did was I was able to secure a special just for our listeners. So if you want to buy a ticket to this dinner, and there is limited seating available, by the way, go to rightsideradio.org. There's a button at the top of the page that says the API Huntsville 2022 event. Click on it, and when you're buying your ticket online right there, there's a promo code. Just type in the promo code RIGHTSIDE when you get down to checkout time. It will cut your ticket price in half. Gotta love that. In half. I think I checked with API yesterday. We've already sold several tickets just from folks here in this radio show. So listen, I'm going to talk about this all the way up until the day. But if you want to come, limited seating available. But I'm looking forward to meeting some Right Side ruffians, some of you people that I hear on the phones or get the emails or just that I know you're out there. Yeah, I would love to meet you in person. So please consider coming that night, March the 10th, Burritt on the Mountain. Right Side is the promo code on the website, rightsideradio.org. Get your ticket half price. Come on out that night for a great night celebrating conservatism. Well, that's all good stuff. Coming up in a minute, we're going to be right back with number one on the Triple Dipper. A war on biblical lands? Maybe. I don't know. But right now, what we hear is the Iran negotiations are not going great. We don't know how it's going to play out. But Israel is not going to let them become nuclear capable. It's a dicey situation. So as we hear all about Ukraine, we speculate about China, we watch a little bit about North Korea, the question you have to also be asking yourself is, in the near term, what happens with Iranian negotiations, because they are literally, apparently, just months away from what's called a nuclear breakout. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, short segment there. Be right back with a whole lot more. Stay tuned. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Spent a good deal of time there in my opening monologue talking about the U.S. military and how there are some who are concerned about the fact that the military seems to have become, you know, that great science experiment at the place where you can be a liberal and go, hey, there's a captive group of people. They have to do what we say. Let's make sure, I don't know. Oh, climate change. Let's make sure we make climate change an issue of national defense, and we'll make sure that we have a green army. Woo! Or how about this? it is absolutely important that we have we take all care with our transgender members of society who want to be Army Rangers, and we will allow them to sleep in the barracks, and no one should have to question this. It's wrong. We'll have extremism classes to make sure they understand how important it is, and we'll root out extremists. And oh, by the way, vaccine mandates. It's, I mean, on and on and on and on and on and on and on. That to say, it's a dangerous world out there, y'all. It just is. It's a dangerous world. Anybody who's ever served in uniform knows that, the reality is folks who have been to war don't want to see war, me included. Folks who have been to war don't want to see their sons or daughters go to war, me included. But at the same time, folks who have been to war know that war is not designed for intersectionalities and division of societies and social engineering and deterrence of things that are not even a part of the mission, like climate change. Therefore, things like China, North Korea, Iran, Russia, and other bad actors around the world who hate us and want to see what we are and who we are as a nation destroyed. That's all it's for. That's all the U.S. military is for, to protect and defend the homeland, to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States of America, to make sure that we as a nation are here tomorrow. It's like the old quote that good people sleep well in their beds at night, knowing that rough men stand ready to do violence on their behalf. That is the purpose of the United States military, to go into foreign lands if necessary, at the very least to protect the homeland, and not to get wrapped up in all the societal aspects that the civilian leadership, many of whom have never once served a day in uniform in their life, think, oh, this would be a great idea. Let's put that in the budget. We'll make sure they have to spend the next 6 million man hours doing classes on systemic racism. No, that is not what the military is for. Now, do you want order and discipline in the ranks? Yes. I'll tell you what. You know what? I remember hearing it said once before. You want to bring some order and discipline to the ranks, go ahead and find you a young E4, put corporal stripes on them and turn them loose. They'll put some order and discipline in the ranks in a heartbeat. But we have hamstrung the military so often. I'm looking at a story right now, National Review. National Review dated, dated today. The title of this is China's Malevolent Naval Aggression. And it goes on to point out in this particular article that China's intentions are holistic. They are looking at the broad scheme of where they can accomplish their goals of becoming the power projection platform in the world. It goes on to talk about in this particular article that the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, has developed naval capabilities that are designed to saturate U.S. and allied bases and an attempt to push American naval ships well out of strike range. Now, they have their own weaknesses, it points out. And we have to recognize those, too. China does have weaknesses. They have severe weaknesses when it comes to, apparently, according to this author, of the abilities to gather and resource certain energy and raw materials they need for economic stability. That's why they're looking outside of their boundaries right now. They're also, by the way, setting up the opportunities for foreign port agreements. And, oh, by the way, if you look at it, they're really building islands in the South China Sea. Building islands. Building islands. How does that even happen? Giant dredge machines scooping up sand from the sea bottom, piling it up until they have formed actual islands, and then declaring that means that their international or national waters have expanded out to that island. Well, they've got the Chinese Navy as a part of the overall People's Liberation Army growing and increasing in its capabilities. They laugh at things like, oh, the United States is very worried about intersectionality in the ranks. Let them keep worrying. While in the meantime, they build a massive fighting force. Separate storyline coming off of Neon Nettle. All right, the Neon Nettle, just a source that kind of aggregates news. February 17th, yesterday, White House claims that Putin is deceiving the world as Russia is privately mobilizing for war. All right, this one goes on and talks about the fact that we have conflicting information right now. Intel on the ground does not always match the mood on the ground is what we're hearing. We're hearing right now that I literally read one article that I didn't wind up pulling for resource, but I literally read one article that said that reporters who were on the ground are looking around going, it doesn't match. But then again, those reporters are probably not standing right in the presence of the 150,000 troops that are massed across the border, because we do know that 150,000 troops are massed across the border. You don't mass 150,000 troops. And oh, by the way, I heard one report last night that said they've begun to move field surgical hospitals towards the front lines that the Russians have, which is a clear indication that they expect combat casualties. Something's coming. The question is what, how many, and when. And the reality is, though, we're looking at a world stage that has Putin massing 150,000 conventional forces on the border of another sovereign nation. In an ongoing conflict, by the way, this is not new, because Putin annexed a big chunk of Ukraine called the Crimean Peninsula in 2014, and they have been engaging in, you know, ground combat now. 14,000 Ukrainians have died since 2014, fighting back against the Russians. All to say, watch what's happening. North Korea, article dated 2 days ago. North Korea, storyline from BreakingDefense.com. North Korea's hypersonic missile claims are credible, according to certain analysts. So as the U.S. right now literally is trying to develop a hypersonic arsenal, it appears that North Korea may have actually conducted three successful launches of hypersonic weapons. A hypersonic weapon, by the way, is one that reaches altitude and then oftentimes drops very fast, flies at low level. It also can evade. So in other words, it's jinking while it flies. That they launched one on January 11th, apparently, a hypersonic glide vehicle, which separated from its booster, flew a gliding trajectory, made a hard turn to the north in the Sea of Japan, and then hit its target. That's an incredible test, especially since it was flying at Mach 10. That's North Korea, who now says, by the way, they have weapons that can reach the western coast of the United States. So this weapon leaves limited options for defending Japan and even U.S. bases in Japan. The trajectory of these missiles, these hypersonics, is too much for our intercepts to be able to gain to. All right, I'm going to run. Well, I'll tell you what, let me take a call real quick. When I come back from the break in a minute, we're going to talk about the main topic here. We're going to jump into what's happening in the Middle East. But right now, let me grab a call. Line three, Moni from Huntsville. Hey, Moni, Phil Williams, how you doing today?
Great. It's Friday.
It is Friday. Friday, we like to say around here.
Yeah. My question is, where is the UN and all these environmental groups as China is destroying the coral reefs to build their little islands?
It's a great question. They are pretty silent right now. I've not heard a thing. I hadn't heard boo out of them. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, have a good weekend. Take care.
All right, Moni. Appreciate you, man. Great point. He makes the point. What hypocrisy. You know, the UN, the environmentalists, you know, don't use your plastic straws or your reusable, you have to use reusable bottles and you have to use the cloth bag at the grocery store. Meanwhile, China's building islands in the South China Sea and destroying coral reefs in the process. All right, Copper, let's go ahead and move to a break now. So when I come back, I've got plenty of time to talk about the next part of this discussion. Because what I've done is set the stage for you that what we have is a dangerous world. What we have is a military being degraded by woke policies. But the one that people are not paying as much attention to, in my opinion, is on the verge of being something very dangerous. And that's the question of a nuclear Iran and a unilateral first strike by Israel. War on biblical lands. We'll come right back to that in a minute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We are not constrained by time. We'll take as much time as we need to on this topic, but right now, I got a caller who held on during the break, so I'll go ahead and grab that real quick. Line four, Dustin from Huntsville. Hey, Dustin, Phil Williams on Right Side. How you doing today?
Phil, I'm doing good. You know, every time I end up hearing in the news the subject of hypersonics come up, it really piques my interest to listen to it, because it kind of reminds me of how goofy our government is. I'm 34, but I love research and aerospace stuff. I've got three daughters, and we love going to the Space and Rocket Center and seeing the A-12 parked out front, and the A-12 and the SR-71 are two of the coolest things in the world to me. And,
absolutely.
I think you'd really like reading Kelly Johnson's book, More Than My Fair Share of It All, or More Than My Share of It All, and Ben Wrench's Skunk Works. And we had Mach 4, Mach 5 capable missiles that the YF-12 prototype that they had successful kills at hypersonic velocities in the mid-60s. And yet, here we are chasing our tail, being the third superpower almost right now, when the government has killed this technology and stopped progress over and over and over, only to further other programs that don't amount to much. And yet, we've got companies that could do it a half a century ago.
Yeah, that's a great point, Dustin, and you're right. The question of hypersonic capability is not new to the world. You're right. It's not like it's a brand new thing. It's just not been developed for weapon systems in the same manner as what we're seeing our adversaries develop now. And you're right. By the way, you're right. The SR-71 has to be. I had an experience watching an SR-71 take off one time, and it was unbelievable. But I'll get to that in a minute. But your point about hypersonic capability on weapon systems, yeah, that's legit. The capabilities exist. We've just never invested in it. We spent a lot of time investing monies into legacy systems that even got canceled. As they moved forward, like I remember Don Rumsfeld, when he was Secretary of Defense, he finally canceled major weapons platforms that had been on the books forever, and they weren't ever fully developed, and we spent billions on them.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And we had, whenever we were supposed to purchase a big lot of YF-12s, the ARM version of the A-12 in the 60s, I believe it was Robert McNamara that ended up killing the order, and it just progressed from there. And yet, once again, you're talking about spending billions on legacy fighters, and now we're looking at the NGAD, the F-15EX, and yet, we're still floating around with F-16s and F-22s trying to keep everything running. And yet, we've now got the oldest military as far as, how long some of these planes have been in service, instead of, investing in new technology and try to keep up with the pace of our adversaries.
Yeah, it's a good point. Dustin, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you very much.
Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. I got some great right side ruffians in this audience. I'll tell you what, man, that's just cool. By the way, I will step aside and tell you that I had an experience watching an SR-70. If you're not familiar with the SR-71 Blackbird, it is to this day still, by the way, the coolest plane that ever flew, period, bar none. I mean, it looks like Batman ought to be flying it. And there's one, I think it's still sitting right outside the front door of the Space and Rocket Center in Huntsville. And by the way, it was mothballed for a period of time. They actually went back and just reclaimed it because they recognized they can't do better right now. And so they put the SR-71 back into active service, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it's still in active service now, but here's the thing. So years ago, my father being in the military, we were stationed in England. We were actually flying back. I think we were flying back from my grandfather's funeral. So that would have been like 1979, I guess it was 78, 79. And so we were living in England. We were flying out of Lakenheath Air Force Base where there were SR-71s based. So we're flying out of Lakenheath to get back for the funeral on Mil Air. And I was a kid, but I can still remember this distinctly. Well, apparently they had to lock everybody down for a period of time because the Vice President of the United States was having to land at Lakenheath to refuel on Air Force 2 en route to, I think, the Czechoslovakian premier had died. He was headed to a state funeral. All that to say, I guess for a show to the Vice President, they decided it was time to bring out an SR-71 and launch it. So I'm standing in the terminal, and I see Batman's plane come out, looking like the baddest thing I had ever seen, and it literally nosed out onto the runway, it pulled up to the, like, almost like a dragster pulling up to the starting line, and then all of a sudden, these two huge afterburners lit up in the back and began to glow hot, and then I guess he took his foot off the brake, and that thing went from zero to gone. I mean, it was literally gone. It took, I don't think it was on the ground, but a couple of seconds. It took off literally like a rocket, because that's what it is, and hit the clouds. I mean, it went almost in an arc straight up. I didn't see it anymore. It was the most impressive thing I have ever seen. I'm pretty sure you could fly that sucker to the moon if you had to. But yeah, that was good stuff. Well, listen, I'm going to be moving into the next part of this Triple Dipper, talking about war on biblical lands. And I've got an audio clip that we're going to play here in a minute of General Jack Keane. And this clip, by the way, is actually about a month and a half to 2 months old. But it speaks to where we are today. So, folks, let me paint the picture for you. You may recall that in 2015, the then Biden and Obama administration gave pallets of cash and basically lifted sanctions, trying to beg Iran not to become a nuclear-capable force. Do we trust the Ayatollahs? Have they done anything to cause trust? And I would dare say this should be a trust but verify situation, to quote Ronald Reagan. But nonetheless, everybody in the the Obama-Biden administration just touted this as the most incredible day. We've done great things. No, you didn't. All you did was give them the money to advance their cause. And Iran has been moving forward now with their nuclear development. Now, that agreement was so bad for the United States that Trump pulled out of it. And now Biden, who was the second in charge, now he's the first in charge, is trying desperately to get that whole thing back on the table. They believe that they can trust the Ayatollahs. They believe that despite the fact that just like in the last 30 days, there was a military parade on which the missiles had signs that said death to America. They believe that you can trust these Ayatollahs if we'll just get them to sign a piece of paper and we'll lift all the sanctions and let their economy thrive forward, and then they'll develop nuclear weapons. As many believe that even with the agreement, they're less than a year away from breakout. Well, what happens when that happens? First of all, you need to look around the region. Saudi Arabia doesn't like Iran. Saudi Arabia is a Sunni Islamic nation. Iran is a Shia Islamic nation. They can't stand each other. And the last thing that Saudi Arabia wants is to see a nuclear Shia extremist government right across the way. Meantime, you've got an unstable Iraq and Syria. You've got Hezbollah being funded by Iran. And you've got Israel saying, we will not allow a nuclear Iran to exist. Turn the music down, Copper. And you've got Israel saying, we will not allow a nuclear Israel to exist. It's a powder keg. And we're going to talk about it in great detail right after the news. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.